Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Lamed Gimal. Today's daf has been dedicated L'Inu Nishmat Hayim Ben Sara, Mr. Victor Shem Tov, Alav Shalom. Tehi Nishmato Tzirura B'Tzror HaHayim. Amen. Today's daf is being studied L'Inu Nishmat Hachem Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem B'Gan Eden. Amen. We are beginning today on Daf Lamed Bet Amud Sheni, and it is 9 lines from the bottom. We are discussing a case that we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, where a person placed his eruv in a tree. So the Mishnah said, if he placed it above 10 tefachim in the tree, the eruv is not an eruv. If he placed it beneath or below 10 tefachim in the tree, his eruv is an eruv. Now the case we were discussing was where he wanted to make his shivitah, meaning he wants to have his residency in the Reshut Rabim, meaning in the spot on the ground. And the logic was that you have to have your shivitah, meaning your residency and your eruv in the same domain, or at least it has to be accessible. And since if the eruv is higher than 10 tefachim in the tree, it's considered a reshut yachid. For example, the tree is 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide. So the eruv is in a reshut yachid, and your shivitah was down on the ground, which is a reshut rabim. Therefore, your eruv and your shivitah is in a different domain, therefore it's not considered an eruv. However, if the eruv was placed lower than 10 tefachim in the tree, it is kasher. Now, lower than 10 tefachim in the tree would be considered an area called the karmelit. Now, seemingly, it's also a different domain, meaning the Reshut Rabim on the ground and the Karmelit is two different domains. So why is it Kishera? Why is the Eruv still considered good? So we explained yesterday because we're following the opinion of the Bi that says that since the Eruv kicks in at Ben HaShemashot, and at Ben HaShemashot it would be permissible to access the Eruv, even though you have to climb a tree, and climbing a tree on Shabbat is Asur, but climbing a tree on Shabbat is only Asur Midrabbanan. And the Bi holds that anything that's Asur Midrabbanan is permissible Ben HaShemashot. So therefore, since at Ben HaShemashot time when the Eruv kicks in, it would be accessible to bring the Eruv down to your Makom Shevitah, so therefore the Eruv is Kasher. As opposed to if the Eruv was in above 10, it's in the Shuti Yahid, so Ben HaShemashot, even though let's say you can climb the tree, but you cannot bring it from a private domain to a public domain. That would be Isur Deoraita. So now the Gemara is going to give a condition to the case that we mentioned. And we begin. Amar Rava, Rava said, Lo shena ela bi'ilana omed chutz li'ibura shil ir. The case of the Mishnah where we made a difference between above 10 and below 10 is talking about a tree that is standing outside the boundaries of the city. Now let's explain what Ibura shil ir means. You have a city, let's say, that is walled. Outside the city, within 70 amot and 2/3 amma, outside the city, outside the wall, is still considered the boundaries of the city. Past 70 and 2/3 amma is considered chutz l'emura shil ir, outside the boundaries. Now, we're talking about a case over here where a person lives in a city, and technically he has 2,000 amot from the boundary of the city. Normally you have 2,000 amot, not from the wall of the city, but your 2,000 amma start from after 70 and 2/3 amma outside the city. So technically, let's say the wall ends, you count another 70, and then you can count your 2,000 amma from there. And we're talking about a case where a guy wants to extend his tchum, so therefore he wants to put his eruv in the second city, in order that he can carry from the second city 2,000 amma. So he's putting his eruv not in the second city, but he's placing it outside the walls of the second city, outside even the ibur, meaning he's placing it more than 70 and 2/3 amma outside the second city, and he wants to start his 2,000 amma from there. Now again, I just should point out that the first city to the second city, or to the first city to where he's putting his Eruv, has to be at least within 2,000 Ammah, so he can walk there on Shabbat. And then when he walks there on Shabbat, he has 2,000 Ammah from that new point, but you have to be able to walk there. Your Eruv cannot be more than 2,000 Ammah away from where you are, where your house is, because you will not be able to walk there on Shabbat. In any event, Rava comes along and teaches us that if the Eruv is placed in the second city, away from the second city more than 72/3 Ammah, then you have the deen of the Mishnah that says, if it's higher than 10 in the tree, no Eruv, lower than 10, yes Eruv. Aval ilan omid betoch ebura shel ir, but if it's within 72/3 Ammah of the city, afilu lemala ma'asara, even if it is above 10 tefahim in the tree, hare ze Eruv, it is considered an Eruv. What's the logic? So the Gemara says, demata, the city, keman demal yadamya, is considered as if it is filled. Meaning we have a new concept that the Gemara is teaching us here today. That is mata keman demal yadamya, which is when you have a walled city, we consider as if the dirt of the city, the ground, goes all the way up to the walls, as if the whole city is filled with dirt up to the top. Not only the city itself, but even 72/3 Amma outside the city, meaning that's considered Ibura Shil Eid, is also considered Keman Demal Yadamya. Once you're introducing us with this principle, if a person, let's say, has the Eruv above 10 in the tree, and he intends to have Shevitah on the ground, since the ground is elevated because of this principle of Keman Demal Yadamya, as if it's filled to the top, so technically his Shevitah is raised in the same spot where the Eruv is. Therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's above 10 or less than 10, the Eruv will be Keshira. So again, Rabbah's Hiddush is that the Mishnah was only talking about a case where he's outside the 72/3 boundaries of the city. Because there, once you're away from the boundaries of the city, you don't get that special leniency of Keman Demalia. And therefore, when the Eruv is above 10 tefahim and your Shevitah is below on the ground, you cannot access it. Therefore, it's in a different spot. Therefore, Eruv is not an Eruv. However, within 72/3, even though it's outside of the wall, but since you're still within the borders of the city, we do say the deen of Keman Demalia, and therefore, when you intend to be on the ground, it's as if you are on the top, because the ground is elevated, so to speak, and therefore, we consider it enough to be considered you and your Eruv in the same spot. Now, we should point out, and Rashi says over here, actually, we could read a little further. Let's read a little further. The Gemara says, if you're using these type of principles, even outside of the Ibur of the city, it should be a legitimate Eruv, even if it's above 10 tefahim in the tree. Why? Since Rava taught us, Hanoten Erubo, person places an Eruv, Yeshlo Arba Amot, you do have four amot, which means in the place where you put your Eruv on the ground, on the floor, where you make your Shevitah, where you put your Eruv, that is considered a reshut yachid, meaning you're allowed to walk four amot in that area. Havyala reshut yachid. So that four amot area would be considered a reshut yachid. The reshut yachid or the adlalakia, we know a principle that the reshut yachid goes all the way up to the sky. And therefore, when you have the tree in that area, so the tree all the way up is considered a Shuti Yachid as well. And therefore, since the top of the tree where your Eruv is a Shuti Yachid, and the bottom now, the ground, even though there's no walls over there, but like Gabe Eruv, we consider it a Shuti Yachid, so it's considered Hu the Eruvo b'makom ehad, which means, just like you said, by the case of Betoch Eburo Shil'ir, that what? That even though there's no walls, but you consider it part of the city, and you consider it as if it's filled to the top, and therefore it's considered, let's say, you and the Eruv in the same area, so say the same thing, even if it's Hutzkar Mura Shir'ir, which means the bottom line, the area that you're on the ground is considered a Reshut Yachid. If it's considered a Reshut Yachid, the tree that the Eruv is on is also a Reshut Yachid, and therefore you and the Eruv will be considered in the same spot. and therefore even if you placed it above 10. Now, Rashi comes along and tells us a very important point. And I read it three lines from the bottom. V'nihi de'lo reshuti ahid mamash ninu. Meaning, of course, that area on the ground, underneath the tree, is not considered a full-fledged reshuti ahid. Legabe isura de'oraita, which means le'mishkelim mi'ilan lehatam. Certainly you would not be able to actually take from the tree to the ground, because bottom line, there are no walls there. It is considered a reshut harabim midoraita, the haleka mechitza. Miu le'anyan mehevehu ve'eruvo b'makom echad, but le'anyan, the law of him and the eruv being in the same domain, for that we'll consider it a reshut hayahin. Just like by Emburashir Eid, where you told me that it's considered as if it's filled with dirt, and therefore it's considered that your eruv is on the tree, which is high, and your shemitah is also considered elevated, because the ground is actually, we consider it rising all the way up. So therefore, we'll consider this as well, that hu ve'eruvo b'makom achad. So that's the Gemara's question. Rava, why are you telling me only when it's b'chutz sh'emuro shil'ir, then above 10 is not going to be good, because hu ve'eruvo b'makom acher, even chutz sh'emuro shil'ir, if it's above 10, it should be good still. Even above 10, why? Because the ground below is considered a shuti yahid, again, because the law is that you have four amot in the place where you put your eruv. The spot beneath the tree is considered technically a reshut yahid le'inyan eruv. So therefore, the Gemara comes along and says, "Amar Rav Yitzchak, b'ed Rav Mesharshia, hacha b'ilan anote chutz la'arba amot askinan." We're talking about a specific case over here, where the tree rises up. However, there is a branch on the tree that horizontally protrudes out more than four amot away from where the person was kone shevita, and that's where he placed the eruv. V'nitkaven lishbot bi'ikaro. And the guy's intent was to have his shevita at the base of the tree. Now his eruv is four amot away, horizontally, on the branch. Now, what problems does that pose for us? So that she tells us, "Vehu nitkaven lishbot bi'ikaro." He intended to have shevita at the base of the tree. Hilkach lemata me'asara. If, let's say, that horizontal branch is within 10 of the ground, erubo eruv. The eruv will be considered eruv. Why? The matze nafik le chutz ledalid amotav kama deba'e. He can bring the eruv down from the branch to the reshut rabim, which is underneath it, and then he could walk technically from that spot to his shevita. Now, even though you're not allowed to walk 4 amot in the reshut rabim, he could walk less than 4 amot and stop, less than 4 amot and stop. Now, that would be permissible, even though normally you're not allowed to go from a Karmelit, which is that area of the branch that's less than 10th frame, is considered a Karmelit. Technically, you're not allowed to go from the Karmelit to the Reshut Rabim beneath it. That would be Asud Rabbanan. And furthermore, it would be really technically Asumad Rabbanan to walk from that spot to your Makom Shevita, even stopping less than 4 amot at a time. So the rabbis also forbade that Rabbanan to walk in the Reshut Rabim less than 4 amot. However, we're talking about over here that since Ben Hashem Ashot, according to the B, as we learned, they were not gozer on Isud Rabbanan, so therefore, technically there is a way for me to get to a roof which is less than 10 tefachim on the branch to my Makom Shevita. Take it from the branch lower than 10 to the Reshut Rabbim, it's only Isud Rabbanan, which Ben Hashem Ashot is permissible, and then walk less than 4 amot to the area, that would also be permissible. Because it's Ben Hashem Ashot, and according to the B, Isud Rabbanan is permissible, Ben Hashem Ashot. Now, even though we just learned that that area where you want your Shevita is considered a Reshut Yahid, so Rashi points out, it's considered a Reshut Yahid
to be lenient, but not to be stringent. Because if you're going to consider it a Rishut Yahid now, you would not be allowed to walk from the Rishut Tarimim, which is under the tree, to that spot, because you're going from the Rishut Tarimim to the Rishut Yahid. So it's all, you made it a Rishut Tarimim by placing your Eruv there, but you only made it to the Rishut Yahid when it becomes a leniency. But now by making it a Rishut Yahid, it's a stringency. And since there's really no walls there, it's really indeed considered a Rishut Rabim, and therefore you'd be able to walk pachot pachot midal and amot to get there, and therefore ben Hashem Ashot. Yes, that would be Yisud Rabbanah, but ben Hashem Ashot lo gazdu. So therefore we understand the case now. When it's less than 10 tefachim, even though it's more than 4 amot away, there's a way to get it from the tree to the Makom Shevita. However, if it's above 10 tefachim, in Eruv or Eruv, the Eruv will not be Eruv. Why? Because how are you going to get it from the top of the tree to the Makom Shevita? You're actually going from a Rishut Yahid to a Rishut Harabim. And therefore, there is no way possible, and therefore it's going to be Asur. So therefore, the Gemara is actually explaining the case of the Mishnah in a very restricted manner. The case of the Mishnah that said, above 10 tefachim in the tree, in Eruv or Eruv, is not talking about a case where it was a straight tree that just goes up and the branches are straight, meaning horizontally. Because if that was the case, above 10 tefachim is a Rishut Yahid, beneath we considered Gabe Eruv and a Rishut Yahid, it would be considered Hu Ve'eruv Vo B'Mekom Echad. But the case is still where it has a horizontal branches that jut out from the tree, and it's more than 4 amot away, and therefore there is no way when it's above 10 to get the Eruv from the Rishut Yahid to the ground, which was considered a Rishut Harabim. So therefore, the Mishnah is Osir Lema'la Me'asara. So the Gemara has a question. If that's the case of the Mishnah, Umay Lema'la Umay Lemata. Which means, the Mishnah says that if it's Lema'la, it's no good. If it's Lemata, it's good. When you say the words Lema'la Lemata, it's mashma, that it's talking about vertically it's placed on the tree, where it's possible to be sometimes the ma'ala, higher than 10, and sometimes lower. If we're talking about horizontal branches, it could never be simultaneously le ma'ala or le mata. It's just sometimes gavoa or namuch, meaning sometimes it's higher than 10, that branch, and sometimes it's lower. The words lemala lemata is mashma that it's possible to be at the same time sometimes higher or lower. So that lashon in the Mishnah lemala lemata is not precise if you're learning it talking about the horizontal branches that are jutting out. It should have said more properly if it is gavoa or namoch. So the Gemara says dehadar zakif. Now we're talking about a case where the branch juts out horizontally and then goes up again to another level. So you do have lemala lemata. You have two branches, one which is below, and then it climbs up again, it rises up, and then it forms another level, and therefore that is going to be the second level. So if you look at actually your picture books where you can see this, it's 162, where you see you have the tree, and you have the first level, which is within 10, then it goes up to another level, and that would be considered above 10. Hence, it can be lemala and lemata. So comes the Gemara and says, Veha iba'em maitila derech alav. Gemara wants to say like this, even if you want to say it's above 10 tefachim in the tree, there is still a way to get that Eruv to the ground. Which means, even though you're telling me above the tree is considered Rishut Yahid, and the bottom is considered a Rishut Harabim, technically there is a way to get the Eruv there. How? You're going from Rishut Yahid to Rishut Harabim. How would that be possible? So the Gemara says, Derech Alav, via the branches. How is that possible? Which means like this. If you take the bread from the above 10 tefachim area, which is considered a Rishut Yahid, and you bring it down to the lower branch, that lower branch is considered a Karmelit. So since it's considered a karmeli, that airspace over there is a karmeli technically. So therefore you're going from a reshuti yachid to the lower branch of karmeli, which is only isud rabbanan, which would be permissible to do ben Hashem Ashot, and then you're able to go from the karmelit to the area that is above the tree, and that's the place of the Shevita. Rashi's Lashon is, and I'll quote it inside, Iba'im ma'itile derech alaf, ki have chutz ledal amot, even where it's beyond dalet amot, nameh, ul ma'la ma'asara, above 10, kevan de dalet amotav olot al drakeh reshut rabim, yari yachol la'alot le'ilan, you can climb up the tree, ad le'ma'la ma'asara, up until 10, v'litlo and take it, da'akol le'ilan ma'asara ma'al reshut rabim, v'yo le'makom shevitato, and you can take it to the makom of shevita. Let me explain you again how you would actually do that, which means you can climb up the tree, take the eruv that is munah, that is resting in the reshut hayachid, meaning it's on the spot of the tree that is above tetefachim, and bring it through the airspace of the kalimelit, meaning through the airspace of the lower branch, and bring it to the spot that is above his shevita. Now the spot above his Shevita is considered a Reshut Yahid, because we learned earlier that since we're considering the Anyan Eruv, the ground of Reshut Yahid, so anything above Reshut Yahid is considered Reshut Yahid. Reshut Yahid is only Adla Rakiya. So therefore that spot right above in that four Amot area would be considered Reshut Yahid. So let me explain a little clearer again. You're outside that four Amot. So since you're outside that four Amot, that's where the Eruv is. It's above Tentifahim, away from that four Amot area. Therefore, that's considered a Reshut Hayahid, a full-fledged Reshut Hayahid. It's 10 high and 4 Tefahim wide. Now, the problem is, how can I get it from there to the ground? I'm going from the Reshut Hayahid to the Reshut Rabim. So the Gemara is telling you, if you go Derech Halav, I go from the Reshut Hayahid to the lower branch. That airspace is considered a Karmelit. So the Reshut Hayahid to Karmelit is only Isud Rabbanan. And then I could bring it to the airspace that is above the Makom Shevita. Because once we get to the Makom Shevita, that's considered Reshut Hayahid Linyan Eruv. And the Reshut Hayahid is only Adla Rakiya. So technically you went from the Reshut Hayahid via the airspace of a Karmelit to a Reshut Hayahid. Now that is Isud Rabbanan, like we know the Masechet Shabbat. And therefore, since Isud Rabbanan, it should be permissible to do that. Ben Hashem Ashot. So we figured out a way that even if it is above 10, it would be more than 4 amot away, it is still permissible to get it to your Makom Shevita via the lower branch, which is the airspace of the Karmelit. And all you got to get it is to the airspace that's within the four, that four amot area, because that, once you get to that four amot area, that's the Reshut Hayahid Linyan Eruv, and the Reshut goes all the way up to the sky. So that area is all considered a Reshut Hayahid. So to that, the Gemara answers, Kesherabim Mechatfim Alav. We're talking about where that lower branch is exactly 9 tefachim. And we learned in Masechet Shabbat that when you have a area in the public domain that is 9 tefachim, it does not have a status of a karmelit. It has a status of a reshut harabim. And why? Because since people are usually access those areas because they're able to fix their loads on an area like that, because they could, you know, bend down and fix their knapsacks and their bundles, because it's a very comfortable height for human beings to use. So it's not considered an impediment, something that is 9 tefachim high in the Reshut Rabim. On the contrary, it's considered something that the Reshut Rabim, the people can use. Therefore, it is not a karmelit, it has a din of a Reshut Rabim. Therefore, the case we're talking about over here is where the branch, the lower branch is exactly 9 tefachim from the ground. And since people can put their bundles on it, like you see in picture 164, so then you have a problem now, because you're going to go from the Reshut Yahid to the airspace of the Reshut Harabim. And that is going to be forbidden, because you cannot go from the Reshut Yahid via the airspace of the Reshut Harabim to a Reshut Hayahid. And we learned in Masechet Shabbat, that is Asur. So therefore, that's why we said, when it's Lemala Me'asara, it is Asur. Now let's just see the Gemara to the two dots, where we see this din of Rabim Mechatfim Alav. So the Gemara says, Uchde Ula, like Ula's din, Damar Ula, Amu Tish'a B'Reshut Rabim. If you have a amud, let's say a beam or a pole, that's 10 tefachim. I'm sorry, that is 9 tefachim in the reshut rabim, the rabim mechatfim alav, and the rabim use it, meaning to rest their loads upon it, or fix or adjust their loads by using that amud, that beam. The zarak menach al gabav, and you threw something and it landed on it. Hayav, you're going to be hayav. Why? Because the halakha says if you throw something for amot in the reshut harabim, you had an akira in the reshut harabim and a hanahan in the reshut harabim, you are hayav. Since we're considering this amud that is 9 to frame 8 reshut harabim, it's as if it landed in the reshut harabim, and therefore one is going to be subject to a hayuv hatat because he threw something for amot in the reshut harabim. So what do you see from here? That something that is 9 to fahim high has a deen of the reshut harabim. Therefore, the same thing in the tree. So now let's review in summary the case of the Mishnah. Which, let's go back to the Mishnah. When you learned the Mishnah, the Mishnah said, if you put it on Ilan, Lemala ma'asara tefachim, no eruv. Lemata ma'asara, yes eruv. Now we finally have a scenario, what we are talking about. If the case of the Mishnah was talking about bitoch ibura shel ir, then even above 10 would be considered eruv, because we're going to use the principle of what bitoch ibura shel ir you have mata keman demalia damya. So that is not the case. And if the case is talking about even chutz ibura shel ir and the tree is just going vertically straight up, also above 10 would be considered not a problem, because since the area on the ground where you want your Shivitah is considered a Reshut Yahid, and we know the law says the Shuteh goes all the way up to the sky, so therefore that whole area, that whole tree is considered a Reshut Yahid, so your Eruv and your Shivitah is considered in the one Reshut, that would not be a problem either. So those are not the cases of the Mishnah. Those are two cases where the Eruv would be kasher. So even if it was above 10, what's the case where it's not kasher when it's above 10? Where the tree has horizontal branches that jut out and are more than 4 amot away from the makom shevita. Since above 10 is considered a shuta yachid, and on the ground where your shevita is, we consider it a reshut harabim. So technically there is no way to get from the there's no way to get from the top of the tree to your makom shevita, meaning if you're going to go down, you're going to go into the reshut harabim area, and therefore you're not going to be able to get into the makom shevita. You go from reshut yachid to reshut harabim. And we're talking about where even if you want to go via the branches, those branches that are beneath it are considered avir reshut harabim, the airspace of reshut harabim, because rabim mechatfim alav. And therefore, we're not going to consider the lower branch that is within 10a karmelit, because then ben Hashem should be permissible to go via the karmelit airspace to the airspace of the reshut yahid, which is above your makom shevita. No, it's to rabim mechatfim, and therefore there is no option to take it from the top of the tree to the makom shevita. That is the case that the Mishnah is osir. Comes the Gemara further and says, "My Rabbi, umay Rabbana." We learned earlier that we have a machloket between Rabbi and the Hakamim if it's permissible to do isur de Rabbanan ben Hashemashot. So now the Gemara is going to discuss what the source of that machloket is. The Tanya, we have a braita. Netano be'ilan lemala ma'asara tefachim. If you place the eruv in a tree above 10 tefachim from the ground that has status of reshut yachid, in erubo eruv, the eruv is not considered eruv because it's going to be forbidden to bring that eruv to the makom shevita ben Hashemashot. Again, that is like the case we just discussed, where we're talking about where they have the horizontal branches and the branch below is considered the avir of reshut rabim, because it's rabim mechatfim alav, and therefore you will not be able to get from the top of the tree to your makom shevita, meaning it would be isur deoraita, because you're going to go from reshut yachid to reshut rabim, which is forbidden even ben Hashemashot. However, if the eruv is less than 10 tefachim, meaning it's in a spot that says status of a karmelit erubo eru, because you can bring it ben hashemashot to makom shvitato ve'asur letelo. However, it would be forbidden to actually bring the eruv from the tree on Shabbat itself. Because even if the Eruv was, let's say, less than 10 tefachim, we know that on Shabbat you're not allowed to use a tree. Hachamim made a gezerah. However, betok shiloshav, let's say the Eruv was within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's on the tree but very low, within 3 tefachim of the ground, mutar letelo. You can even take the Eruv on Shabbat and bring it down. It's not considered using a tree, because anything within 3 tefachim of the ground is considered the ground itself. Netano bechalkala, let's say you placed the eruv in a basket, utla'o be'ilan, and you hung the basket on the tree, afilu lemala me'asarat tefachim, erubo eruv, even if you hung the basket above 10 tefachim, hanging from the tree, the eruv is considered eruv. The Gemara will explain this immediately, what the logic is. Devre Rabbi, all this was the words of Rabbi. V'achamim omrim, v'achamim say, kol makom she'asur letelo in erubo eruv. Any time you place an eruv in a place that will be forbidden to get it on Shabbat, the eruv is not considered an eruv. Now the Gemara is going to analyze exactly what case the rabbis were referring to. V'achamim omrim, when the rabbi said that any time you place an eruv in a spot that you cannot access it on Shabbat, ahiyah. On which case were the hachamim referring to? Ilema asifa, if they were referring to the end of the braita, meaning on the words of Rabbi that said if you placed it in a basket and you hung it on the tree above 10 tefachim, the Rabbi said the eruv is an eruv. And on that the rabbis come along and say that the eruv is not an eruv, since you cannot get it on Shabbat because you're going to be using a tree and you cannot use a tree on Shabbat. Now, you're not actually using the tree, using the sides of the tree, because the sides of the tree have the basket that is leaning against it. And that would come out to say that when the Hachamim said it's forbidden to use a tree, it's not only forbidden to use the tree proper, but also the stadin. So the Gemara would say, Lema kasavi rabbanan, let us say from over here, we have a proof then, stadin asurin, that it's forbidden mid rabbanan to use the side of the tree, not actually the actual tree itself, but even something that's hanging from the side of the tree, it's also forbidden to use that on Shabbat. Now that's very significant, because in Masechet Shabbat, we actually have a mahloka if stadin or asur or not. Now if this indeed was the opinion of the rabbis here explicitly, how come then in Masechet Shabbat they didn't use this as a proof to support the opinion that said stadin asurin, to prove to us that the majority of the opinion is, meaning the shita of the hakamim, is stadin asur? From the fact that Masechet Shabbat did not bring this as a proof to the opinion that says stadin asurin, must be that the rabbis are not arguing on the case of the basket. Meaning they'll hold that in the case of the basket that's 10 tefachim high, hanging against a tree, that is considered a legitimate eruv. So what case would the hakamim then saying that since you can't access it on Shabbat, the eruv is not an eruv? Ela aresha, must be going on the first case of the braita, on the words of Rabbi that said if you placed it less than 10 tefachim to the ground, erubor eruv. Rabbi holds why? Because you can access it ben hashemashot, even though you have to climb up to the tree. He holds that anything that's assumed to the banan, like climbing a tree on Shabbat, is mutar ben hashemashot, and therefore fim it's mutar. Under that, the rabbi said no. Since ben hashemashot, it is asumah d'rabanan, and they hold that things that are asumah d'rabanan are asura ben hashemashot as well. Therefore, even if you placed it lemata ma'asara, it is not going to be considered an eruv. So here you see the shita of the hachamim that say that even isure d'rabanan is asur ben hashemashot. Now the Gemara is going to explain the cases of the braita. Hai ilan, this tree that we mentioned in the braita, hechidame, which case are we talking about? Idelet ve'arba'a, if we're talking about a case where the eruv is placed, it's not four tefachim by four tefachim wide, meaning you placed the eruv in a narrow area, less than four by four tefachim, mekom peturu. It has a status of a mekom petur, which we have a din in Masechet Shabbat that we learned, that any area that is not four by four tefachim wide is not considered a deshut, and therefore it's permissible to take from that area to a deshut yahid, or from that area, let's say, to a deshut harabim. You're allowed to transfer via that area, and therefore, if it's considered mekom petur, I don't care if it's higher than 10 tefachim. Technically, you'd be allowed to carry from the top of the tree, which is mekom petur, to the reshut harabim, which is beneath it, and therefore would be considered mutar. So that cannot be the case. Which means, why did the Beraita say if it's above 10, en eru bo eruv? If it's resting on a place that's less than 4, it's in the mekom petur. You can go from a mekom petur to a reshut harabim. Ve'it be'arba'a. And if we're talking about the case where the tree is 4 wide, and that's why above 10 tefahim en eru bo eruv, because it's considered a reshut yahid, and therefore you cannot get the eruv down to the makom shevita, which is a reshut harabim. Ki netano bechalka. So why should placing it in a basket above 10 tefachim, which has the width of 4, change the deen? It should be forbidden to take it from the basket to bring it down to the reshut harabim. Why did the Braita say if you place it in the basket, it is permissible? On that, Amar Ravina, Ravina said, Resha, the beginning of the Braita, I mean the case of the Braita that said, Lemala ma'asara in erubo eruv, that case is talking the it be'arba'a, that you have a width of 4 by 4 tefachim, and therefore it's considered reshut yachid, and therefore, in erubo eruv, because you cannot take it from the reshut yachid, down to the makom shivita and the reshut harabim. However, sefa, the second or the last case of the braita, meaning the tano bekalkala, where you place it in a basket, is talking the let be arba'a, which means we're talking about a case where you do not have 4x4 tefachim, vechalkala mashlimato arba'a, meaning the tree itself does not have 4x4 area. However, the basket will complete the area to make it 4x4, which means the basket is flush against the stump of the tree, let's say, or the wood of the tree, and therefore together with the wood of the tree and the basket itself, it will come to a shi'ud of arba'a al-arba'a, and on that case over there, it's going to be considered a legitimate eruv. Why? Because this braita is following the opinion of Rabbi, and Rabbi savar la ke Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi holds like Rabbi Meir, and also v'savar la ke Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like two opinions, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. What are these two opinions? Savar la ke Rabbi Meir. He holds like Rabbi Meir. The amar chokikin lehashlim. We learned the law in mezuzah, that in order to be hayav, a doorpost mezuzah, in a mezuzah, it has to be at least 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. However, let's say you have an archway, where let's say, as the wall goes up, it narrows out because of the archway, so you don't have the width of 4 tefachim. Rabbi Meir says, if you have thickness where you can chisel out to make a 4 tefachim airspace, so we consider as if it is chiseled out, and you do have the airspace. So we're going to say chokekin lashlim. So just like the Bibita says it by mezuzah, the B is going to say it by the case of the eruv. And therefore, even though your basket has less than 4 tefachim, but your stump of the tree has enough thickness to chisel out, so we'll imagine if it's chiseled out, and if we have an area now of a basket that is going to be 4x4 tefachim, using the principle of chokekim lashlim. Now, why do you need an area of 4x4 tefachim? Because he also holds in the Gemara says sabar like Rabbi Yehuda, de'amar ba'inan al gabe mekom arba'a. He holds eruv. Rabbi Yehuda shita is that you have an eruv, it has to be placed on a spot that's at least 4x4 tefachim in order for the eruv to be kashir. And if it's not placed on an area that's 4x4, even if you had kavana to make shivita above 10 tefachim, it's not considered eruv veleka. And in this case over here, the tree does not have 4x4, nor does the kalkala. And therefore, the eruv is only going to be considered an eruv because you're using the principle of chokekin lehashlim. So therefore, again, the braita that said that the eruv is kasher when it's in a basket, that is because you're using a principle of chokekin lehashlim. The basket was less than 4. and the tree was less than 4, but if you chisel out the tree and extend it to the basket, it's considered 4x4. And we're going like the Biuda that says you need to have a Eruv in a 4x4 spot, which is considered Makom Hashuv, to be considered a viable Eruv. Oh, so the only question we're left with, if that's the case, where you have your basket using the principle of Hokekin, it's considered on a 4x4 area, and it's above 10, so technically that should be considered a Reshut Yachid. How could you get the Eruv down to the Reshut Rabbi? Why then does Rabbi say in the Braita that Erubor Eruv, the Chaura, it's in a different domain? So to that, Rashi comes along on the first Rashi on the Amud Bet, and he tells us a din from Masechet Shabbat Taf Kuf Aleph by Botzinaita de Meshan. That was the boats of Meshan. Now the boats of Meshan, Rashi tells us, had walls that were 10 tefachim, and also had the proper width, which were 4 tefachim wide, which technically those boats should have been considered a Reshut Hayachid. However, the Gemara says you cannot carry in those boats more than 4 amot, which means we're not going to consider them a Reshut Yachid. Why? So that she tells us because the bottom of the boat narrows out to a width that is less than 4. And therefore we're learning a principle over here. To be considered a Reshut Yachid, it has to have the width on the bottom also 4 tefachim wide. Even though on top you have 10x4, but if it narrows to the bottom less than that, like the boat that narrows out, it's not considered Reshut Yachid. And therefore we'll say the same thing by the case of the tree. True on top, using the rule of Hokekin with the basket, you have 10 high, 4 wide. However, the tree itself beneath that area is less than a 4 tefachim, and since the base is less than 4, that is not considered a reshut hayachid. And therefore, we go back to the case of the Eruv. When you place it in a basket in such a case, it's considered an Eruv, first of all, because it's on a makom hashuv. Using the principle of Hokekin, your Eruv is considered viable or valid because it's on a makom hashuv. That being said, it's not considered a reshut hayachid, because the bottom of the tree beneath that basket narrows out, and since your base of the tree does not have the 4 tefachim, it's not considered a reshut hayachid, like the case of the boat that narrows out on the bottom. That's why the B said it is considered a reshut, because indeed you can get from the top of the tree or the basket to your makom shemitah ben hashemashot, because at worst it would only be isur. It's not going from a reshut yachid to a reshut harabim. Now the Gemara is going to ask, my the Biuda, where do we see the Biuda's opinion that says that you need to place an eruv on an area that is 4x4? Detanya, we have a bright. The Biuda omer, na'atz kora, you thrusted a pole vertically, b'reshut harabim, in the public domain, v'heniach erubo aleh, and you placed your eruv on the pole, and you mitkaven to have your shivita in the reshut harabim. So he says, if the koraz gavoa asara, if it's higher than 10, urhaba arba'a, erubo eruv. So the eruv is eruv. Very interesting. Even though, if it's 10 high, 4 wide, that top of the pole is considered a reshut hayachid. So how could you tell me that if you were mitkaven to have shivitan, the bottom is a reshut harabim? How could you tell me that it's considered a legitimate eruv? So we explain again that since we have a law that says that on the bottom, in the spot where you want to make shivitan, it's considered a reshut hayachid. So therefore, that whole area of 4 amot on the ground is considered reshut yachid, and therefore, where you put your eruv is also considered a reshut hayachid. So we say what? The din is, hu ve'erubo b'makom echad. Now, earlier we were talking about a case, if you remember, we said, wait, true on the bottom, you have your 4 amot, which is considered a reshut yachid, but your eruv was 4 amot away, was outside that 4 amot area. So therefore, it was in a separate domain. And therefore, you were not able to go from that, the Shuti Yahid, to the base. However, here, it's all straight up. It's just a pole. There's no horizontal branch. It's just a pole. So therefore, again, the Braita says, if you have a pole in the Rishut HaRabim, and it's 10 high, 4 wide, and you place the Eruv on top, it is considered the Eruv again, because it's considered Hu Ve'edubo B'makom Ehad. Because the bottom, the ground, is considered Rishut HaHiliga Be'eruv, and therefore the top of the pole is considered Shutei because it's 10 high, 4 wide. Therefore, it's considered Hu Ve'erubo B'makom Ehad. In any event, the Braita continues, Ve'im Lav, if not, in Erubo Eruv. Now, what does it mean, if not? Which is, only if it's 10 high, 4 wide, then the Eruv is Eruv. What does the Braita mean when it says, Ve'im Lav, and if not, in Eruv or Eruv? So at this point, the Gemara is thinking, meaning if the pole is 4 tefachim wide, but it's less than 10 tefachim, and you put the Eruv on it, the Eruv is not an Eruv. To that, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Adraba, if it's less than 10 tefachim, so high, the pole, certainly it should be considered Hu Ve'erubo B'makom Ehad. Hu Ve'erubo B'makom Ehad. Why? So, Rashi tells us an interesting principle over here, that when it's less than 10 tefahim on the pole, it's considered as if it's in the airspace of within 10 tefahim of Reshut HaRabim. Anything that's within the airspace of Reshut HaRabim, we can employ the principle of Kluta Kemo Shehunha Damya, like we learned in Masechet Shabbat, according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, certainly, if it is within 10 on the pole, certainly it should be considered kasher. So what did the Braita mean? If it's above 10, wide by 4, you're telling me what? It's considered a reshut hayachid, and it's considered hu ve'eruv bo b'makom ehad. Kol sheken, if it was lower than that, so it's considered in the airspace of Reshut HaRabim, based on the principle of Kluta Kemoshi Unha, that anything that's in the airspace of Ten is if it's rested in Reshut HaRabim. And therefore, since he has his Shemitah on the ground, which we'll consider the Reshut HaRabim, the Gabe this, so it's considered also, Hu Ve'erubo B'makom Echad. So comes the Gemara and says, that's not what it meant, Ve'im Lav. Ve'im Lav in the Braita, when it said Ve'im Lav in Erubo Erub, did not mean if it's less than 10, 4 wide. Ela hachi ka'amar. Gavawa asara, if it's higher than 10, sarich shiye b'rosha arba'ah. Then the only way for the Eruv to be kasher, it has to be placed on an area that is at least 4 tefachim wide, because the Eruv has to be placed on a makom hashuv. And when it says v'im lav, in Erubo Eruv means, if it's 10 tefachim high, and it doesn't have 4 tefachim wide, then the Eruv is not an Eruv. So the diuk would be, and givuha asara. But if it's not 10 tefachim high, and sarik shiye b'roshar ba'ah, then you don't even need to have a area of 4. So again, above 10 tefachim, you need 4 tefachim to be considered makom hashuv. Less than 10 tefachim, certainly you do not need 4 tefachim. And of course, the eruv will be considered an eruv, like we said, because hu ve'erubo b'makom echad. So that's the source where we learn Rabbi Yehuda's din, that above 10 you need 4 by 4. So let's go back again. In the case of the Braita, we're talking about a basket. So the basket, to be considered a legitimate Eruv, it's got to have 4. How does it have 4? Using the principle of Chokekin. You're chiseling out the tree, which has some thickness, plus the width of the basket. So now you have 4. It's above 10, but it's not considered a true Eruv because the base narrows out. Therefore, we have a deen of Hu Ve'erubo B'makom Ehad, because you can access it from the basket to the makom of the Eruv. Now the Gemara is going to go and analyze the case of the basket in light of a law that we learned in Masechet Shabbat. The Gemara says, Keman, this Braita that we mentioned, Rabbi Shita with the basket against the tree, Delo K'Rabbi Yosef B'Rabbi Yehuda, is not following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef B'Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because we learned that Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Omer, if a person thrusted a pole that was 10 tefachim high, but is not 4x4 wide, in the public domain, you placed on top of this pole traskal, a basket, right? You placed a basket in the center of the pole on the top, and the basket is 4x4 wide. Vezarak, and you threw something on Shabbat, and it landed in the basket. Hayab, it's considered you threw that you threw from a reshut harabim and it landed in the reshut harabim, meaning the top of the basket is considered a reshut harabim. Now the question is how? True, you have 4x4 in the basket, but you don't have walls that are 10 tefachim. After all, the pole is very narrow. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda taught us that we consider the walls of the basket, they extend downward to the ground. That's using the principle called gud achit mechista. And therefore, it's considered as if the pole is surrounded by walls that are 10 tefachim, and you have the area of 4x4 tefachim, therefore the top of the kaneh is considered a reshut yachid. And therefore the chaurah, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, we should say the same thing in the braita by the basket that's hanging against the tree that does not have 4x4 tefachim. Well, you're going to say the principle of chokekin lashlim. So once you say chokekin, you get the area, and therefore you have a makom arba'ah. Then we'll say that the sides of the basket go down, using the principle of gudahit mechitzta, and therefore that basket now should be considered a reshut yachid, and therefore the eruv should not be considered an eruv, because he has the shivita on the ground, which is a reshut harabim, and his eruv is on top in the basket. How then could Rabbi say that the eruv is an eruv? Must be he's not going like the opinion of Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Yehuda. So comes the Gemara and says, "Afilu tema Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Yehuda." I can tell you that Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Yehuda would agree to the case in Erubin by the baskets hanging on the side of the tree. It's not similar to the case of the traskal. Why? Hatam by the traskal hadran mechisata, which means you have walls surrounding the kaneh, meaning the traskal itself, which is in the middle of the kaneh, is 4x4 tefachim. Therefore, you could say gudahit mechista, and now it creates walls that are 4x4. It creates walls 10 tefachim high that have the area of 4x4. That's considered a gudahit. It works. Hacha lo hadran mechista. Here, you don't have the walls of the mechisa. I'm sorry, the walls of the kalkala of the basket that are 4x4 tefachim. You have to get the 4x4 tefachim first by employing the law of chokekin lashlim, which means since you don't have 4 in the basket, you have to consider first of all chokekin. Once already you have to use chokekin, you can't use both principles, chokekin and gudahit mechisda. If you have already the area itself of 4x4 in the basket, then you could say the walls of the basket extend downwardly. But at first you have to create the area by using chokekin, then you're not going to say gudahit. So if I could tell you that the biosimity with that agrees in this case. In the case of Masechet Shabbat, it was a regular pole, and the pole had a basket on top that had already the prescribed area of 4x4 tefachim. Then I'll say what? That these sides of the basket go downward using gudahit mechista, therefore makes the whole area on top of the shut yachid, because you have walls of 10 and an area of 4. Here, however, we're not going to say that the sides of the basket go down, because the basket itself does not have 4 tefachim. You only have 4 tefachim using the din of chokekin lashlim. So therefore, in this case, Rabbi Yosef would agree that that area is not considered a reshut hayachid. Therefore, you can carry from the basket to your makom shivita at least ben hashemashot, and therefore the eruv will be considered an eruv. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.